What is up, everybody? You are checking out the Uncensored Pro Wrestling Podcast. I am your Italian God and actually your co-AEW pay-per-view champion, defending my title today against my buddy here. But also, I have a new nickname. I'm the ace now, too. Not only am I the Italian God, I'm the ace. Ace in the hole. I always win. Use me. And that's my friend. Introduce yourself, brother.
What's up, guys? This is Nick with Heel to Face. That's about it. I ain't got much else going on.
Heel to Face, definitely check it out. Why don't you tell our friends what your podcast is all about for those who might not have heard it yet?
Just review some of the upcoming shows that, you know, go down. Talk about AEW, talk about New Japan, talk about Ring of Honor, GCW, some WWE shows, kind of all over the place. I'm going to be doing some other stuff in the future, maybe some MLW. Stuff like that. So we'll see where we go from there. I like covering all bases. So we're not biased to anything. I'm not. I act like there's more people in my conglomerate. It's just me. So
fucking women rights over there by Heel to Face, man. No, everyone's allowed. Everyone's up. Yes, definitely check out Heel to Face. I'll post it in the description link. And yes, so we are here to cover AEW Dynamite. We are here live in the Dynamite Arena, obviously. I think I'm so cool.
Quiet in here, man.
What happened? Oh, it's
quiet in here, man. You know why? Thousands of people.
Because we're taping episode Rampage, I think, right now, and half of the people left. And we have Serpentico in the ring right now. And I think the fans are kind of feeling kind of like, you know. But, yes, the fans are quiet because you're listening to us, right? Perfect. So, yes, you're checking out the Uncensored Pro Wrestling Podcast. We are covering AEW Dynamite, June 22nd, 2022, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Milwaukee. What is Milwaukee known for? Are they known for anything?
I think they're brewing companies, maybe. They're beer, and they got the Milwaukee Brewers there.
So thank you, Milwaukee.
And the Bucks. Awesome, the Milwaukee Bucks, of course.
The Bucks. Okay, thank you, Bucks. You guys are awesome, too. They're a team, right? I'm not really a sports guy. Who do they play for? Are they football, basketball?
They only got, I think, baseball and basketball, I think. They don't have any pro teams. Because the only team in Wisconsin for football is Packers, so boo.
Oh yeah, the Green Bay, the Packers are from Wisconsin. Duh. Sorry guys, I don't know why I'm here right now. I guess I'm just brought to this planet today. but yeah, we're live in Wisconsin, Milwaukee. A fun name to say. And Bryan Danielson comes out to the ring to start the show. And Bryan says this is a great week to be an AEW fan. And a professional wrestling fan as well. Sunday, we've got Forbidden Door, and you are going to see some excellent professional wrestling. And then next week, we get Blood and Guts. Bryan Danielson was expecting to be part of these events. How do you pronounce it? Is it Sabre? How do you pronounce this guy's last name?
Zack Sabre Jr., yeah.
Zack Sabre Jr., thank you, sir. Zack Sabre Jr. challenged Bryan Danielson.
I do that shit all the time, even still, and I'm like, how do I still do this shit, man?
Bryan Danielson, it's terrible. Bryan says he's excited to crush Zach's trachea, and he was excited for Blood and Guts as well to get his hands on Chris Jericho, but he has some good news and bad news. The bad news is that because of Anarchy in the Arena,
Hold on. I'm just going to throw something in real quick. Yeah. It was really funny. Right before Danielson said he had news, right? He said, so I have bad news. And you could distinctly hear a guy just faintly in the background say, no, we don't want it.
Oh, no.
I thought it was fucking hilarious.
That's dude. How the fans are. Don't fuck with Bryan Danielson. I remember back in 2014, I wasn't a really big Bryan Danielson fan. And everyone was going yes, and I was going no. And I literally got into a brawl, not a fist fight, but like a brawl with the guy. Because he was like yelling in my fiance's face and like just saying like, and I was like, dude, are you this fucking pussy with for Daniel Bryan? Like, relax. I didn't fucking know you exist. Calm down.
Right.
Good God. But yeah, it was a tough time in 2014, 2015, man.
I've never been a big fan of him. So I respect that he's really good and I acknowledge he's really good, but I've never been a big fan.
Yeah. I just feel like when I'm kind of like an outsider, like if people, I tend to like things after majority of people like them, like even with music, like I won't be into something that most people are into until maybe like a year or two later. And I'm like, oh, I'm really into this. And I just start, I don't go with the crowd. And I feel like during that time, everybody was just yes. And everybody was just a part. And I was just like, eh, he wasn't that, you know, in WWE, it's not technically his fault, but he wasn't anything terrific during that time for me at least.
Right.
Yes. So he claims that he's not clear to compete because of Anarchy in the Arena. He won't be able to compete at Blood and Guts or at Forbidden Door. He goes, there's not a man in this world who can wrestle like I can. Brian Danielson says that Eddie Kingston has called me a judgmental prick. And he says, I do have really high standards. And Brian has found the one person he trusts to take his place at Forbidden Door and at Blood and Guts. You'll be astounded by this person. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but tune in on Sunday and you'll find out. And then Zack Sabre Jr. comes out and he pretty much just like spears down Brian Danielson.
Who do you think it's going to be?
There's a couple of people. A lot of people keep saying it's going to be Cesaro, which I could see it being him, maybe.
I mean, the only reason I would like to see it being him would be for him to be a part of the Ring of Honor extension again.
Okay.
Because he was like one of the fixations in Ring of Honor with Chris maybe Hero.
He could be like, because I think this person will be in the Blackpool Combat Club. So I think that.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they said. The newest member of the Blackpool Combat Club. So maybe they'll make this person like be offering an honor and be like an extension, kind of maybe, like you said, and maybe have them have like their own little group there.
Yeah, but if that's the case, I mean, isn't Wheeler Yuta that extension?
True.
Hmm.
Maybe they could form a tag team over there.
Yeah, because Cesaro can be a tag team with fucking anybody.
I would like to see him like single, but
yeah, me too.
I could see that, but yeah, I don't know. Who do you think it's gonna be?
I'd like to see it being maybe Cesaro. I did hear Gargano could be making an appearance as well.
Yeah,
I think Gargano might be done. Apparently, he's gonna be in Chicago on Sunday for some sort of event. So, I mean, it's open, man. It could be anybody. Chris Hero would be cool even. But for Zack Sabre Jr., I think it's more realistic for somebody like Cesaro, for sure.
That would be interesting to see the two of them go at it. So, yeah, that will be going on.
When I think about it, too, like, when I think back, Cesaro and Daniel Bryan had some fantastic matches in WWE. Like, even some of their last few matches when Bryan was still, like, going through and finishing up, like, last year, I remember, like, one match specifically even with him and Cesaro that was fantastic. So, and I think it'd be a good replacement choice.
Yeah, and it would be kind of, like, gap that history of them working together before and they could be.
Yeah, and that's, like, the whole thing with the Blackpool Combat Club anyway.
Yeah, they all kind of, yeah. Well, now we have John Moxley backstage, and he just says, Jericho Appreciation Society, you blinded my best friend. You put my partner on the shelf. Next week, you're going to find out if the Jericho Appreciation Society rules. He claims he hates Chris Jericho, and he says, Tanahashi, this Sunday I step in the ring with the ace. Once that bell rings, I have no respect for anyone. I'm the ace. Step in the ring with me. Yeah.
The ace of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Man. That's right. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Clarified it. Yeah, so, yeah, really not much to say there. He's just preparing for.
I am so excited for that match.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. They've been building this for years. Ever since Moxley was IWGP US champion. Goddamn. And then he lost the belt to Moxley or to Archer on Dynamite in that Texas Death Match. And then he was, because all leading up to that, he was saying he wanted to face Tanahashi for the belt, but it was COVID. He couldn't get over there. He was saying Tanahashi was running from him. And then, you know, he loses the belt to Archer. Archer goes and faces Tanahashi, like, immediately in New Japan and loses the belt to Tanahashi. So I just thought that was really clever. You know what I mean? And then I know didn't he just lose the belt to Ospreay? Tanahashi did, right?
I think, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he lost the
US champion. Yeah, because Ospreay's the US champion.
Yeah. So, you know, and again, like, just getting it away from Moxley, I feel like that's still part of the underlying story. You know what I mean? And just to see these two finally have their match, I'm so excited. It's been such a long time, such a long build. And it's crazy that Tony Khan is the one that, you know, put it off for so long.
Yeah. Maybe he knew in the back of his mind he was going to do. Because, like, I was even watching, like, a Drew McIntyre, his Broken Skull sessions with Stone Cold completely left field. And this is 2020. He's like, I want to have a big show in the United Kingdom one day, like a massive show where it's a big pay-per-view. And now 2 years later, we got that show in Scotland coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe he kind of had an idea, like, okay, down the line, we'll do something. But, yeah, it is weird that he did put it off for so long because fans, you know. But maybe, you know, it's good that he put it off for so long because now we have fresh something, you know, sick. It'll be good.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for the Fatal, we'll talk about it later, but the Fatal 4-Way will be good. Could have been a good main event, but I think the Moxley Tanahashi needs to main event the show.
Yeah, of course, if it needs to. Well, all right, we have our first match of the night. We have Roppongi Vice and Orange Cassidy taking on the IWGP. Is it IWGP or no? It's IWGP US champion Will Ospreay and his team called Aussie Open. So I don't know much about them, but I just know that they're kind of like, you know, cool, I guess. I guess they look cool.
Aussie Open is currently, I think, the OTT tag team champions right now.
Okay.
But it's another company somewhere out. So I don't even know where. I never even heard of them. But I do know right now that the United Empire holds most of the gold in New Japan.
They're like a pretty, like, kind of like a bloodline. Like, they're a dominant.
Yeah. And Will Ospreay is the IWGP US champ. They're the OTT tag champs. And I believe, and of course, Jeff Cobb and Great Ol' Khan are the IWGP tag team champs. So it's pretty crazy that they are building them up so strong. And the fact that they've lost now twice on Dynamite, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, let's get to that. So, Romero and Fletcher running to one another to start. Trent nails a clothesline and Mark Davis nails a big boot. Orange Cassidy puts his hands in his pockets. Rocky Romero nails a running clothesline to Mark Davis and Orange Cassidy nails a standing moonsault. Aussie Open run Roppongi Vice into one another outside of the ring. Trent nails a suplex to Fletcher and then Orange Cassidy nails a double hurricanrana to Aussie Open. Orange Cassidy nails a tornado DDT to Fletcher. Roppongi Vice toss Will Ospreay outside and Trent dives outside onto Ospreay. Ospreay nails a chop and an enziguri. However, Orange Cassidy nails a stunned dog millionaire.
That was insane.
That was cool, yeah.
And Will Ospreay's sell on that was beautiful.
Oh yeah, he just like fucking took it like a fucking champ. I loved it.
Oh man, that was awesome.
That was cool. Roppongi Vice nail a double knee to Kyle Fletcher. And then Will Ospreay nails a kick and Mark Davis nails a suplex into a pile driver or Cassidy breaks it up.
Another good spot right there.
Yep. I thought that was gonna be the end. Rocky Romero dives onto Will Ospreay outside. And Trent nails a tornado DDT to Davis, and Orange Cassidy nails the orange punch to Fletcher to get the win for his team. After the match, United Empire come out, and they, you know, look to attack Roppongi Vice and Orange Cassidy until FTR come out as well and they send United Empire packing. So, yeah, you just mentioned earlier that, you know, United Empire keeps losing on Dynamite. Again, they did lose, so you weren't happy with this. What did you think of the match and overall, you know, point of it?
The matches have been good. The last two times we've seen them face each other, the matches have been fun. They've been fine. I just don't agree with the result. And even, I know it would be WWE style booking, but even to have them lose that first week because, you know, they're coming into Trent's kind of territory. They're not really used to whatever. But the second time they face, especially the week of the Forbidden Door show, you would think you want to make them look strong. Because now it looks like Roppongi Vice has beat them twice. Now it doesn't look like, I don't know. I know that they're not in the tag team championship match. I know it's Great O'Conn and Jeff Cobb. But I don't know. It still doesn't look good. So I guess in the overall scheme of things, I didn't really think about it. It doesn't really matter. Because it's not the same tag team. I guess you're trying to make Roppongi Vice look credible. So that, I guess, does make sense. But so then I just feel like they should have split some wins because it makes Will Ospreay's group kind of look weak going into the whole thing. And that's like the opposite of what they're doing with them in New Japan. They're like dominant over there right now. So I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I feel like if you're, that was an issue I had with like Ezekiel when he lost at Hell in a Cell. I felt like you're building him up and then you're going to have him lose and now I don't have any sort of like care for him. I have a little interest in these guys, so I've never really seen them before, but I can
That's the point though, you've never seen them before and then they lose all the time,
and so it's like that's sort of like so, what I'm gonna look at them as. They should have done a bit more. They could have won at least one match, maybe if not this week, the week before. I feel like he's probably gonna end up winning, not the pay-per-view, obviously. So that's probably why they didn't want him to look.
Who, Ospreay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
So I feel like they probably don't want him to look whatever. So
yeah, you want to make him look credible, like I had said, like I get that and it makes sense, but yeah. I don't agree fully either.
I feel you, man. Well, we get a promo from Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, and Sam Singh backstage. Nothing happening here. They're just going to India and they're excited to celebrate their victories. We then get Christian Cage. He comes out to the ring to explain what happened last week when he turned on Jungle Boy. He yells at the fans to shut up. Christian says, "You didn't think I was going to let Jungle Boy eliminate me from the Casino Battle Royal and, you know, get away with it." Which is cool booking because that was a year ago. Mm-hmm. He goes, he being Christian Cage, "I am a legend and deserve more. Jungle Boy cost me a roster bonus and a fast track to the AEW title. I decided to go on social media to find out all I could about Jungle Boy. Christian says, I don't need your comments from anybody. I found out that Jungle Boy is talented. He hitched his wagon train, gave advice, and cashed in a big check from Jungle Boy."
A great promo he cut here, man.
It was very good. Christian says, "I didn't care. I didn't come here to help others. I came here for money. Try having a match people talk about for years and years and have a match, the type of match that they make pay-per-views out of." He's talking about TLC.
TLC, great line there, man. He's spitting nothing but facts.
Yeah, it's true, man. It's all true.
And it's crazy. I don't mean to like interject or anything.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Anything you want, go ahead.
I was never like huge on Christian Cage, you know, and like in WWE especially, he always seemed kind of weak. I didn't mind his like feud with Orton in 2011. I thought that was one of the best things I seen him do outside of the tag team stuff he did with Edge.
Yeah.
But I loved him in TNA. When he first went there, I think in the mid-2000s, I thought that was a great run. I thought he really proved, because he was a heel there too, right?
Yeah.
So that was fantastic. You know, his run again in WWE after, because it seemed like he was a little bit different in his more recent WWE run when he had faced Orton and stuff like that. And I don't know, his matches with Kenny Omega have been great in AEW. Like him in AEW has just really turned my opinion on him a lot. And then this promo also kind of put it in place for me too, because he drove it home. that he's a heel. He's here for money. No other reason. The outfit showed it. You know what I mean? He's letting his true colors be shown. He really ran it home here, and he really got the crowd to hate on him big time.
Yeah, he was. They were like, "Tom, shut the fuck up!" Like,
yeah. Then it was funny too, because then the camera panned to some kid chanting it in the crowd.
Well,
and then yeah. You hear JR say, "Well, it's live TV, ladies and gentlemen."
Yeah, Jim Ross is like, "Yeah, here we go."
Jim Ross knows what's up.
He sure does. But yeah, I mean, he just basically says he had Jungle Boy. You know, he doesn't have a killer instinct. And the one time that he doesn't give Jungle Boy advice, he loses the tag titles. And then Christian.
Which is true. Jungle Boy has been doing nothing but lose.
True.
Unless Luchasaurus is in there with them.
True. And then Christian, we see footage of Christian telling Jungle Boy's mom that she raised a piece of shit.
Which I seen that unedited clip, man, like last week. That shit was insane.
She says that Christian says that Jungle Boy's mom saw her knight in shining armor go off in the sunset. Maybe she wanted me to be Jungle Boy's daddy. And he goes, "Oh, you already have a dad, but he's dead." That was fucked up. He goes, he being Christian says, "Your dad would be embarrassed and ashamed of you. Enjoy your early retirement at 25. And then Luchasaurus comes out to the ring, and Luchasaurus grabs Christian by the neck. And Christian says, "Remember what happened to Marco. You're like a son to me. We need to talk in private." And then Luchasaurus takes his hand off of Christian's neck, and Christian hugs Luchasaurus, and they walk off together.
What a weird moment.
Yeah, I didn't understand that, because Luchasaurus came up with Jungle Boy. I don't see why he would just like be blindly into Christian Cage. So I don't know.
Well, yeah, and if they're going to try to make him seem like a dumb dinosaur who just blindly follows things, why wasn't that the case forever ago?
Yeah.
Why is he just doing that now? You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I feel like he should have came out and just beat the shit out of Christian Cage, honestly.
Well, I think he wants to get he's supposed to be a dinosaur, right? So maybe he needs to, like, you know, like, get some money so he can build a replica set for his own house, or he can get all the other fake dinosaurs. And maybe Christian's giving him some money to do this. I don't know. It's weird. Doesn't make
any sense. I don't know. He says he's like 10,000, tens of thousands of years old. So we'll see.
Wow. Well, yeah. But yeah, the promo was fire. It was great. Definitely Christian's just amazing right now.
One of my highlights of the show, honestly, was his promo.
That was probably the biggest, you know, thing to happen, right? Well, there was other things.
Oh, yeah, but one of my highlights of the show.
Yeah. All right, so next we have Malakai Black taking on Pentagon with Alex Abrahantes, and this match is going to be, the winner will be added to the All-Atlantic title match at Forbidden Door. And Pentagon hits a super kick and a dive onto Malakai Black outside. Penta nails a backstabber and gets a 2 count and a sling blade.
Black. The backstabber was crazy.
That was crazy. Yeah, I love the backstabbers. Those are the backstabber and the code breaker I like. Black kicks Penta's legs out on the apron and sends him into the railing outside.
Dude, Penta hit the apron hard. You
heard that, right? Yeah, dude.
Oh, man. He did not take that lightly.
It's, dude, they're going in. That's what I appreciate about the AEW guys, is they just go in every week.
But look how many guys are injured now.
True. You're right.
You know, every week might be a little much.
True. Maybe they should do it like every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know? But Pentagon nails an enziguri to Malakai Black on the apron. Black nails a kick and Penta nails a cutter and gets a 2. Black misses a double stomp that hits a jumping knee saw. A moonsault gets a 2, Pentagon outside, and then another flying double stomp, and Malakai gets a 2. Penta nails a kick to Malakai Black on the top rope, and he hits a top rope fear factor, but Black puts his father up. The fear factor was cool. And then Black nails a back heel kick and gets a 3 count, so he'll advance to the tournament. Afterwards, Pac faces Malakai Black, and Miro shows up on the Titantron.
Isn't it weird they don't have a name for that yet?
What?
Isn't it weird they don't have a name for his finishing kick yet?
Yeah, they just call it a back heel kick, right?
Like, I know they can't say Black Mass, but I mean, come on.
Fade to Black. Something
for it. Yeah.
Right? You know?
Right. Like, or... dude, it's the back heel kick. It doesn't even sound like it would be a like a finisher. It just sounds like he kicked the guy and like he's down forever.
Fall and pray. Steal from Karrion Kross.
Yeah. Do yeah, something. I don't know.
Yeah. But so afterwards, Pac comes out, faces Malakai Black. Miro shows up on the Titantron. And Miro says that Forbidden Door, when I send you to meet your maker, tell him I want to talk. Which I like. I kind of like this whole thing with Miro. It's, I know he's been doing it for a while, but this whole now that he's back and, you know, fuck you, God type, this whole type thing. I like that. But what did you think of the match and, you know, Miro's promo after?
I thought the match was decent. It was one of the matches I was most looking forward to. Malakai Black is just insane in the ring to me. He gets better and better every week. Penta, his stuff's kind of getting a little old for me. You know, it's a lot of the same every time he's in the ring. And like I said, he really sold it on that apron bump, man. Like, he was going in, but I think Malakai Black definitely is the better choice here. And I think Miro, like you said, he has been doing this thing for a while. It would be different though if he was on TV that whole time still doing this. He's been gone for a while, so I'm a little bit more lenient. But like I had said in my preview episode I did for the Forbidden Door show, I do think Malakai and Miro are the better choices for this title right now, because Miro, I don't think he's going to be sniffing any championships soon other than this one.
Yeah, I
agree. I think they're going to be trying to maybe build him to the world title at some point. And that's what I would do anyway. I think he's got main event written all over him right now with this character. And especially for like a babyface champion to get somebody like that, a lot of credibility. People can think and win, but Malakai Black could definitely bring some more credibility to the House of Black with some gold as well, because they need something right now, I think. And if the trios titles aren't coming out, I think that he needs to get this one. So I don't know. Like you said, Miro has been doing this thing for a while, but I like what he's doing with it, because he's somehow finding a way to not take responsibility for anything.
Yeah.
When he loses, it's God's fault. When he wins, it's because God had a plan for it, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Eventually I think that's going to come back to haunt him.
Mm-hmm. I will give you a spoiler for all those to tune into our prediction. I picked either a Miro or Black to win. We'll have to find out.
That's what I said too. So
but we'll see. All right. Okay, so then we get a quick promo from Wardlow. He basically just says, Scorpio Sky, I've been waiting for 3 years for the TNT title, and I'm coming for you.
You really mean to tell me you don't want the AEW World Championship?
Yeah.
You want the title that's been degraded the most since 2022 started?
Yeah.
I'm over Men of the Year. I'm over the TNT Championship. I think this is not good for Wardlow right now.
Yeah, instead, what they should have done is, because I understand they probably don't want, they want to build him up. They should have just had him, like, challenge for the AEW title, lose, then go after the TNT, because then you can say, okay, at least I tried. You know, that's my goal. I want that title. I tried, I lost. Let me get some kind of title and then go back to the hunt for the AEW.
Yeah, or have him get screwed. You know what I mean? Have him get screwed out of the championship. I just don't think – I get what he was saying by saying, like, I want to face the real champion in, like, CM Punk, but you don't even know if he's going to be the champion.
Yeah.
Like, he could lose to either Tanahashi or Moxley, whoever wins at Forbidden Door.
Yeah.
That's very possible.
It's true.
You know, like
– and we don't even know how long CM Punk is going to be out for, so you're basically going to – you know, he could be out for 9 months for all you know. Not that he would, but like, then you're gonna wait 9 months to challenge for a title. Like, it's
right. So, what are you gonna do for Wardlow for
ever? Yeah.
You know, you build him up, you have him beat MJF to build him up, and now you're gonna build him up more. Much more can we build him up?
Yeah, they could have already. Him like, let's say Moxley or Tanahashi, whichever one of them wins, they have him lose, right? Have him fight him again, whatever, lose. And then if CM Punk does come back and wins the title again, then have him fight Punk, you know, like, so that then at least it's like, okay, I can't beat Tanahashi and Moxley, but I can beat Punk type thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I agree. I think it's silly that they just kind of threw him in there for that, but we'll have to see, man. All right. Definitely. Next we have Adam Cole coming out and he joins the commentary table. And Hangman Adam Page is going to be taking on Silas Young. And it's a stalemate to start. Both men are in control. Page chops Silas Young, and Silas Young chops back. Page tosses Young to the outside and nails a clothesline. Page nails a moonsault to Silas outside. Page is pretty much controlled this whole entire match. He nails a superplex and a fallaway slam. Also a springboard clothesline and a flying clothesline gets two. Young nails a backbreaker and gets a two. And Young misses a moonsault, which leads to Page nailing a German and a buckshot lariat to get the win. After the match, Adam Cole gets a microphone and he goes, "You ready for story time, baby?" And before he can talk, Jay White comes out. And Jay White says, "I owe you an explanation. As the catalyst of pro wrestling, I'm responsible for all of this. My opponent can't be you, Adam Cole, because you lost to him twice." He's pointing to Adam Page. So then White says, "Hangman, I know you're dying to know who I will face at Forbidden Door for my IWGP title, but it won't be you." And then Adam Page pushes the mic and Page and White brawl. And then Adam Cole comes in and low blows Adam Page. And Cole has a title belt. He tells Jay White to get Adam Page up. However, it looked like he was about to hit White with a title before White caught him. And then as Cole goes to hit Adam Page with the title, I can't pronounce his name, the first name. Okada comes out.
Kazuchika.
Kazuchika. Oh, God. It's going to be hard for me.
Some people also pronounce it Kazuchika.
Kazuchika.
But I say Kazuchika Okada.
Kazuchika. Wait, how is it? Kazuchika?
Kazuchika Okada.
Kazuchika. Kazuchika Okada, Kazuchika Okada, Kazuchika.
It is hard.
Kazuchika Okada.
I didn't say Okada anymore, honestly. It's just easier.
Okay, so Kazuchika Okada comes out, and Okada attacks both men. And
Rainmaker.
Yes, the Rainmaker, yes. I've actually seen, I'm proud of myself, I've seen a Tanahashi versus Okada match. I don't know which one.
They've had so many, bro. I don't even know.
Whatever it was great. So I knew of Tanahashi and Okada. So when I saw Okada, I was like, all right, it's going to be good. So Okada attacks both men, and Okada goes face-to-face with Adam Page. However, they send out Jay White and Adam Cole out of the ring. And yeah, so it was the first time we see Okada at Dynamite. So what did you think of this match and the segment?
I'm not going to lie, I skipped the match.
Yep.
Silas
Young had a chance, man.
You know, it's the same deal with, like, Takeshita that they did with Hangman Page, you know? Except Takeshita actually got elevated with his match with Hangman. Yeah. You know what I mean? Silas Young just looks like a butcher knockoff.
Yeah.
And It feels like AEW. Whoa, bro, there's a cat on the roof of that house across the street.
Oh, shit, man. The cat is here to play. He's turning into Jeff Hardy, the cat.
Bro, that just distracted the hell out of me.
The cat's going to do like a fucking swanton bomb off the fucking...
Bro, that was crazy. There aren't even no windows over there. I don't even know how it got up there.
Hey, he's a fucking...
But anyway, what was I saying?
We were talking about...
The Hangman thing. Yeah. I'm tired of AEW doing these matches just for the sake of having these matches, though. Yeah. It feels like it's just to do it. There's no other reason, you know? And it's just a chance for Hangman to get a win. I get that.
Yeah. It's very old school, like Raw from 1993, where they have, like, the fucking main guys being the jobbers every week, and you know the jobbers are going to stand no chance.
Yeah. I mean, I get they're always going to have a good match, but, like... I don't know. It just feels kind of basic. And I did like the Adam Cole stuff too, as well. I thought the whole dissension with him and White has been kind of nice. And the reaction Okada got when his music hit was incredible.
Yeah.
It was cool seeing him actually do some stuff in the ring a little bit. Cannot wait to see that match. Okada and Jay White have a lot of history together. And like I said in my preview show for Forbidden Door, man, this match could go a long time with all these guys. Like, they can all go for a while.
It's going to be hard to take notes on this one, man. I'm dreading all these like, inner, like, mad people matches because, oh, my God.
Oh, dude, it's insane. Sometimes it's just better to, honestly, I just, like we had said before, like, voice record your notes.
Yeah.
Or even just, sometimes I just record what's happening on TV with my phone.
Yeah.
And I'll just look back on it because sometimes I remember it better if I just watch it instead of trying to take notes during it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
try that.
But that match is going to be insane. I'm so excited to see Okada wrestle. Every time I have bought shows on Fight just to see him, like the Battle in the Valley show, the New Japan ran where he faced Buddy Murphy or Buddy Matthews. Dude, I bought that show just to see that match, and that match did not disappoint. So
good. I'm excited. I'm excited for the people who don't know these guys to see like what they can do, because I don't know. So I have Sling, and they do show. Is it New Japan or it's New Japan, right? They show their stuff on Access TV.
Yes. Yeah. It's a few months delayed. They do show. It's like I remember. Because I follow their YouTube channel, so I see a lot of their video uploads, and they show commercials for like what's coming up on Access. And it was like a month after the Capital Collision show, they were showing the Fatal 4-Way United States Championship match with Moxley, Tanahashi, Juice Robinson, and whoever else. So, yeah, they do show a lot of stuff on there from pretty recent, too.
Yeah. So that's also because if people want to, you know, see, and even like you said, YouTube's a good place to look it up.
Yeah, they upload free matches every Monday.
Yeah,
they upload free episodes of New Japan Strong that you can watch, that which is the U.S. version of New Japan, and that's got a lot of unknown talent. It's amazing, gives you a little taste of New Japan as well. So there's a lot of ways you can get to it for free that you don't need to get like New Japan World or anything like that.
Or it could be like me typing a match on Google and like illegally pirate it. But I was watching the Okada match. It was like all in like Japanese writing. And I'm like, what am I like looking at? Do I press something? Do I not? Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yep. So then we have Jade Cargill backstage. And basically she's just saying she's looking for a new baddie now that Red Velvet, who was fine, got hurt.
Why is she always going to say cut the shit?
Yeah. I was just about to say that. She tells Tony Schiavone to cut the shit.
Why? He didn't even say anything. She took the mic from him.
Cut the shit. And then, like, after the commercial, Athena and Chris Statlander are backstage. They make fun of Jade Cargill and the baddies, and then Athena tells Jade Cargill to cut the shit. So,
bro, WWE would love Jade Cargill. She loves those catchphrases.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Her and Rhea Ripley, they'd probably make that the fucking main event, man.
She'd be in the main event next week if she was in WWE.
Yeah. But I like Athena. I'm a big Ember Moon fan, so it's good to see her and them. And obviously, the two of them are going to collide pretty soon.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that'll be good as long as maybe Ember wins.
Yeah.
Because I'm tired of seeing these people come in to face Jade Cargill and lose, man. I think
she could be the one to beat her. Because how many wins does she have?
Well, what about Chris Statlander, though? How long are we going to put that off?
True. Well, I think my honest opinion, though, this is just my opinion, I feel like they want to give it to someone again who you're going to take to, and I don't know how many people know Athena, because maybe not a lot of people do, but if you show Athena and you show Chris Statlander, most people are going to say, hey, that was the one from WWE. So I think they want to give it to somebody who is going to draw in more people who know. Like, I think I like Chris Statlander. I think she's the bomb. But most people won't know her compared to Ember Moon. And so I think that's what they want to do when it comes to dropping a title. Like, she's had it now for, what, 30-something days? So I think, not 30 days, but she's had that. Like, she's won that many times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, Chris Statlander could deserve it too. But again, AEW is sort of taking a lot and giving titles to people who aren't from their company. Like, if you look at the card, most everybody on this card for the pay-per-view, most of them aren't from AEW.
I know.
You know?
Yeah, you got FTR.
Yep.
You got Moxley, which, I mean, kind of, but...
Jericho.
You got Jericho. I mean, well, Jericho's been everywhere.
Pac, Miro.
Yeah, Pac, Malachi, Miro.
Adam Cole. I know he's known for, but I mean, in NXT, he had a good run. FTR, like you said.
That's what he's most known for is his NXT run.
What happened?
That's what Adam Cole's most known for, I think, is his NXT run.
I was there when he won the title the first time.
At TakeOver New York?
No. Oh, no, he didn't. He won it at TakeOver New York. I thought he won it.
No. Oh, no, that was Johnny Gargano.
I won it at when he won it at TakeOver 25.
Oh, no shit.
At Pop. Well, I'm a big Johnny Gargano fan. I love, like, Gargano's, like, my favorite. So I was rooting for Gargano. But I still pop when Cole won because I respect him and I think he deserves it too. That's how I am as a fan. Like, I'm not one of those fans like, oh, they lost. The only time I get mad is like Becky Lynch because I'm a big Becky Lynch, like, you know.
I'm a big Becky Lynch fan too, but I do think she needs to go back because this big time X thing isn't doing it.
I know. It's it's different. It's sure not what I really was it too? It's weird though, because I think who was it? I don't know. Someone was like, "Oh, you're making all your wrestlers look ugly or something." Who was it that said that? Is that Vince Russo? He's like, "You're making all your pretty female talent like look ugly, like based on like all the like attire and the, you know, like Becky's a pretty woman, but I can see what they're saying with all the like the way she cuts her hair and the dark makeup and the crazy clothes and the it's a weird." You know, sort of thing here. It's like she's trying to be her husband. So it's like, but all right, we have a problem right now. And the problem is Marina Shafir. And she's coming out with Nyla Rose.
She sucks.
Well, that's the problem. She sucks. She's taking on Toni Storm. I didn't know that Shafir and Nyla Rose were together. Where's Vicky?
Wait, what?
Nyla Rose and Maria Shafir are like a team now.
Since when?
I guess they teamed up on like Darker Elevation and Vicky is nowhere to be seen. That's why Nyla Rose came out with her. Yeah.
Or what?
I want Vicky back.
I skipped this match too. I just seen some highlights from it.
Do you watch any of Impact?
No.
There's a wrestler named Giselle Shaw. Have you seen her?
No.
Okay, I thought it was like a Nyla Rose situation, but it's not. And so I'm like, wow, that's strange how that can happen. It's like a China type.
Weird. They did Impact did come out and say that they had somebody who was transgender. I think it was like Lady Frost or something.
Maybe it was Giselle. But when I look it up, it says her. It doesn't say trans. It doesn't say like she got a change. It just says her.
Weird. But yeah, weird. I did see something about that.
I don't know. I'll have to look it up. But anyway, so the match starts and Marina kicks Toni Storm and she nails a headlock. Toni Storm nails a drop kick and Shafir with a high kick. Shafir kicks Toni Storm outside and Nyla nails a senton to Toni Storm outside of the ring. Storm punches Shafir and nails a headbutt and Shafir sends Toni into the apron and she accidentally kicks the steps. Toni nails a DDT. Toni hits the German suplex and that crazy running hip attack,
dude,
pretty much breaking Marina's neck. And then Toni rolls up Marina to get the three count. After the match, Nyla Rose attacks Toni Storm with the help of Marina Shafir. And then AEW Women's Champion Thunder Rosa runs out to help Toni Storm take out Nyla. And then Toni nails Nyla Rose with the AEW Women's title. And then Toni gives that title back to Thunder. So pretty much just setting up the, you know, the women's match for the pay-per-view. What'd you think?
Like I said earlier, I skipped this one a little bit. I did see some highlights that AEW posted on Facebook. The running hip attack in the corner was the highlight for me.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that was about it. I like Toni Storm a lot. I think she's doing really good in AEW right now. And yeah. I'd like to see her dethrone Thunder Rosa, honestly.
I would like to see that too. That Thunder Rosa. I don't really like Thunder Rosa.
I think she's a wrestler. I did, but she's been so flat.
I think the problem with her is I think she complains too much. And I've heard that a lot of wrestlers say that, like, she isn't. Like, she's seen on bags and, like, I don't know. But, all right, we're here for our main event. We have the Wizard, Chris Jericho, and Lance Archer with Sammy Guevara and Tay Conti taking on Jon Moxley and Hiroshi Tanahashi with William Regal. All four men brawl on the ring, and Moxley sends Jericho to the railing outside. Archer nails a pump handle slam and gets a two count. Tanahashi sends Jericho into the corner, and then Moxley blows Jericho. So he doesn't blow on, like, you know, he delivers blows. Oh, my Lord. Uncensored Pro Wrestling Podcast. Moxley nails a clothesline to Jericho outside and sends Jericho into the announce table. Sammy Guevara grabs Moxley's leg, allowing Jericho to drop Moxley. Tanahashi with an elbow to Jericho and a crossbody, and he nails a swanton bomb. He gets a two count. Jericho goes for the walls of Jericho and nails a codebreaker to Tanahashi, but Moxley breaks up the pin. Moxley dives onto Archer outside, and Tanahashi and Jericho punch one another in the ring. Tanahashi with knees to Jericho's head and comes soon with Jericho applying the walls, but Moxley nails a cutter, and then Archer nails a big boot to Moxley. Tanahashi nails a sling blade to Archer, and then Moxley hits a paradigm shift, and Tanahashi nails a frog splash to Archer. And these two guys win. You knew the two men were going to win, obviously. After the match, Eddie Kingston runs down and attacks Chris Jericho along with the Blackpool Combat Club. They nail Sammy Guevara with a chair, and then Minoru Suzuki walks down, and then the fucking Roppongi Vice, and everyone just comes out and brawls with everybody. It was a brawl to end the show. So what'd you think of that?
I thought the match was decent, a little slow at the beginning, yeah. I think. But it did find its pace eventually. Especially towards the end, like you were saying, you know, the cutter by Moxley, the big boot by Archer, kind of bam, bam, bam. That frog splash, the high fly flow that Tanahashi does, man, he nailed that thing. He hit all of his body weight onto, I think it was Archer he pinned, or was it Jericho?
Yeah, he pinned Archer, yep.
Yeah, so, I don't know, it was cool seeing Moxley and Tanahashi team up, and they actually worked pretty well together, surprisingly, considering that their match was, what, 4 or 5 days away from then?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I liked it, I thought it was fun. I think the ending was too much. I think it could have ended the show with just, like, Moxley and Tanahashi winning and then facing, like, face-to-face.
Yeah.
Before their match Sunday. Because then on Friday, you can do the big brawl after Rampage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they had Orange Cassidy and, like, a big brawl happened on Rampage anyway, didn't they?
I didn't finish. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I seen, like, a clip on YouTube or something. Like, there was a huge brawl at the end of Rampage. So they did that twice. So they could have just saved it for that and just had Moxley and Tanahashi end the night staring off and just like, hey, we'll see you guys on Sunday, you know?
I agree.
But I thought the ending was a little much, but
Well, this is a pretty decent episode of Dynamite. It was a good go-home show.
It was all right, you know, yeah.
For me, like, the highlights were Christian Cage's interview. I like seeing Okada. That was pretty much it for me.
Oh, wait. Hey, did you mention Darby Allin saying that Hiromu Takahashi and Shingo Takagi are going to be teaming with them and facing the Young Bucks and members of the Bullet Club in Hikuleo?
And yeah, I don't have any idea about any of these people. So I was kind of glad that you mentioned it.
No, you're good. Because Darby called them out on Dynamite to a match. And that's when it got made official.
Now, the people that Darby is tagging with, are they from New Japan as well?
There's two from New Japan. They're from Los Ingobernables de Japón, I believe. It's Shingo Takagi and Hiromu Takahashi teaming with Sting and Darby taking on Hikuleo, El Fantasmo, and the Young Bucks.
Is there anybody... like me, because I'm not a, you know, I don't watch any of this. Is there anyone that we should look out for in this match that you think is going to be? Because I don't know any of these Japanese people at all.
I mean, we can talk about it a little more in the Forbidden Door special, but I think Hiromu Takahashi, the ticking time bomb, he's really good. think he was in the best of the Super Juniors this year. Okay. Put on a pretty good show. Shingo Takagi, I believe, won the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. I think he was one of the first ones to win the new belt. He had some great matches with Will Ospreay and Okada at Wrestle Kingdom. So he's someone to look out for. Of course, Hikuleo has been on Dynamite before. He's wrestled on Dark. He's wrestled on Strong. Hikuleo is about 7'5". Not really, but he looks taller than hell. And he's really good in the ring. He's a member of Bullet Club. El Fantasmo is really good. They're all, so them two are going to be teaming up with the Young Bucks. So that should be cool as well. So definitely a match to look out for. You're going to see some good stuff.
Okay, because with that one, I wasn't sure if it was anything, like if it was going to be like any good or not. Okay, cool. Good to know.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, I wanted to mention that Darby had called them out because, you know, Darby's my boy. And he Darby's was on the show. Boss. So
Darby's cool. Well, listen, we came to the end of Dynamite. Check out our next video and episode, our Forbidden Door 2022 prediction special. Check out Nick at Heel to Face podcast, YouTube. You also do it through it's Spotify, right? As well.
Yeah, Spotify and Anchor.
Spotify and Anchor. And you're not on YouTube. Where are you?
No, not yet. I'm gonna try to get some videos there. Yeah.
But definitely check it out on Spotify and Anchor. Give it a 5-star rating. I'll put the description down here. And yeah, we're going to fucking be back in a little bit with our Forbidden Door predictions. So stay tuned. Be safe. Peace in the streets. Check us out soon. Bye. Peace.